are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Wednesday edition of Locked On Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, your host covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, every single Monday through Friday. Thank y'all so much for making Locked On Saints a part of your day today. It's Ash Wednesday, so let me know what it is that you're giving up, if you're giving up anything. See, I considered coffee, but then I forgot and I already drank a cup this morning, so I completely screwed that up really quickly. So I'm looking for some ideas. Maybe I'll give up on supporting Eli Apple, not even for 40 days, just all together. All right, so for today's episode, it's a fun one. It's Combine Week. Tomorrow, wide receivers, quarterbacks, tight ends, they hit the field for the on-field workouts. So we're going to identify who you should watch at each position and talk about some of the fun storylines that are going to be going on. But first, the newest version of the CBA has been pushed toward the membership vote. This is big. I'll tell you what changed, what's the same, and why it matters to Saints fans. We got all that and a little bit of lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. The newest CBA has been pushed forward by the NFLPA player representative 17-14 with one rep abstaining and will now be voted on by membership. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. So this 10-year agreement will now be voted on by the players. Over 2,000 players in the league will have a chance to vote. Only a simple majority is needed in order to pass. So let's talk a little bit about what the players are going to be voting for and why this matters for the New Orleans Saints in particular. 17-game season, of course, is on the docket here, which could begin no earlier than 2021. That was the big sticking point so far on the contract, but it seems that some of the other adjustments that will hit helps to sort of smooth over that process. A 14-team playoff field, which will begin as early as the season in 2020, a reduction from 4 preseason games to 3, and because of that, no additional bye week in the regular season. Instead, each team is going to maintain their one bye week and get an additional week of preparation before the first game of the season with that one fewer preseason game. Roster sizes are going to be increased from 53 to 55 and 46 to 48 on the game day roster. So that means this is something that Coach Payton's been asking for a long time. He's going to get the opportunity to bring more guys into games, add some depth on that offensive line, and it means good things for players like Boston Scott and Emmanuel Butler, who always felt like they were fringe roster cuts just on the outside of the 53. And speaking of Emmanuel Butler, the practice squad is going to be increased from 10 players to 12 and eventually up to 14 by 2022. So there will still be an international roster exemption as well for any non-US players that get added to NFL clubs. And this is perhaps one of the biggest things that changed between when this was in front of the player representatives to when they finally signed off on it. The player representatives successfully got the $250,000 cap on the 17th game for existing contracts removed. That's a huge win, because basically any player that was already signed to a contract that's broken out over 16 games was not going to get an equivalent game check for the 17th game. They were just going to get a $250,000 flat rate, basically, for that additional game. Meanwhile, all the other players that signed onto new contracts after the CBA was agreed upon would have gotten a full-time game check. So basically, this would have meant that Drew Brees and his new contract would have gotten his usual game check from his salary over the full 17 games. But Michael Thomas, for instance, who signed his big 5-year deal last offseason, would have ended up with the same paycheck over the first 16 games, but then for that 17th game, he would have been reduced to $250,000, though he'd technically be due around $750,000 per game. So that is a huge win for the Players Association there and for the membership. Now, here are some other big parts of the new CBA. The regular season game number would be capped at 17 games over the next 10 years, so no talk of 18 games or increasing the season any further throughout that time frame. A joint committee will be established to review information on injuries and recommend further alterations to offseason programs with the additional game. That's pretty nice. It just depends on whether or not the league actually abides by or takes that information and uses it properly. The stability and harmony amongst the league would allow for owners to go ahead and shop their TV deals and their broadcast deals with little or no concern of lockouts or any type of player league disputes over the next decade. And that's really, really big, because that's going to mean more revenue for the players. That increased broadcast money is going to be huge. And the share of the revenue toward the players is also going to be increased up to 48 to potentially 48.5%. So that's up to an additional $5 billion going to the teams that then get paid out to the players. So that would certainly assist with the Saints in particular, especially over the next few years when they have these big time candidates for extension. And it also means that players that love New Orleans and want to stick around can, because they'll be able to do it with anticipation of a much larger payout once that new revenue sets in. So this is a really kind of good hook and line for NFL clubs to be able to say, hey, stick with us because we'll be able to pay you more once this new revenue kicks in. Off-season responsibilities are going to change a bit for the players as well. 28 padded practices has now been reduced to 16 at camp, and then 5 days would now be increased to 8 days off. And of course, one of the other big things here is the fact that the faster that this deal gets done, the faster that player contracts will get signed and negotiated. For instance, the Cowboys were reported to not even entertain a contract conversation with Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper until everything dealing with the CBA is taken care of, whether that means it passes or it doesn't. Until that happens, apparently they're not interested in having those talks. And that's going to put pressure on players to vote to potentially pass the bill right away so they can get their contracts done and their money in hand. And this makes sense for the Saints, who might be doing the same as well, holding off on all at least formal negotiation, though you know that the informal conversations are already taking place until this new deal is set, especially considering that voidable years and team options won't be available on the 2020 offseason unless the CBA is already in place. And those are, of course, two of Mickey Loomis and Kai Hartley's favorite tools to use when negotiating contracts. The new league year begins in March, so the players that are voting are going to have to move quickly here in order to get it passed before that new league year begins. We'll continue to keep you updated here on Locked On Saints, of course, and continue to tell you why this is important for Saints fans and for the New Orleans Saints just as much as the rest of the league. So coming up next, though, we're going to transition a little bit over to the NFL Combine. Wide receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks all working out tomorrow. They're finally hitting the field and the action is going to get underway. We'll start off with wide receivers. I'll tell you three wide receivers you should look for, give you a little preview in the upcoming Canal Street Chronicles article that I have coming out tomorrow morning. And then we're going to close out the show with quarterbacks and tight ends and big storylines. Got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, y'all, thank you very much for joining me as always. Excited to get started here with the NFL Combine. Before we get to that, just want to remind you, if this is your first time catching the show, make sure you take a moment to subscribe, drop that 5-star rating and review. Every little bit helps. And of course, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that there's nothing that I love more than being here with y'all every single Monday through Friday. So thank you very much for joining me and making me a part of your day. Let's get started with the NFL Combine preview here. So of course, I've moved over my writing and everything to Canal Street Chronicles, where I'm now one of the editors over at the website. So I'm super excited about all of that opportunity and everything I get to do with that team here. But one of the new series that I'm starting essentially is NFL Combine Position of Need Watch List. So I went to Twitter, as I mentioned in yesterday's episode for the Twitter Tuesday segment, and I asked, what are Saints fans' biggest needs when you're looking at this offseason, whether it be free agency, the draft, however you go? And we got four essentially consistent answers, and then I added one to give us five. And so I'm going to have five articles coming out at each one of those positions: wide receiver, interior offensive line, cornerback, linebacker, and interior defensive line. So we're going to look at all five of those. I'm going to give you a day one guy and then two later guys to keep an eye out on at the combine over this week. Each of those articles is going to drop the day that they work out. So tomorrow morning before the wide receivers work out, you'll get the wide receiver article. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a preview here. We're going to talk about the three wide receivers that I have on this list. And then I'm going to give you a bonus wide receiver because I'm just feeling mad generous today. Somebody that I think is a really intriguing option for the Saints. We've talked about him here on the show before, and I'll talk about him again. But so let's talk about these three wide receivers. Day one guy, two later pick guys, or they'd be day two, day three. And one of them might actually be borderline day one. It just depends on how much you trust what Jim Nagy had to say about him at the Senior Bowl. So there's your little clue. But first off, we'll start at the top of this list here. Oh, there's no Justin Jefferson on this list. I told y'all, and I even say it in the article, I'm not talking about Justin Jefferson all the time because I want to talk about Justin Jefferson enough, but I'm not talking about Justin Jefferson in this article. There will be more Justin Jefferson chatter at another time. So number one on this list for me, for the day one guy to watch at the combine, Jalen Reagor for the Saints. Jalen Reagor, more of a pure speed guy. We know that pure speed hasn't always worked out well for the Saints, but we saw Deontay Harris be, you know, that guy that could be a bit of a pure speed, and we saw how he could work within the offense a little bit, jet sweeps, things like that, but also getting him involved in a deep passing game. All that is great. But one of the reasons why I like Jalen Reagor is because he's more than just the deep threat guy. That's what he ran in his offense, nine routes, post routes, in routes, as he mentioned in his interview. But he says he can run the entire route tree. You're going to get a good look at that at the position drills and see how much you trust his ability to be able to work within the Saints offense. So he's definitely somebody to watch as a potential get for the Saints in the first round. Now, again, he was expected to do one thing and one thing only at TCU, and that was go deep and essentially stretch the field. If you feel like that's not what it is that the Saints need, don't forget that Jalen Reagor is also a fantastic guy with the ball in his hands. He's a fantastic athlete. He's got great run after catch ability, and he's probably going to run in the 4.2 to 4.3 range. So you get the ball in his hands and all of a sudden he takes off and he's able to create yardage after the catch, as opposed to simply relying on how deep he can get down the field before he catches the ball. One of the reasons why I really, really like him. We'll talk about him a little bit more in the next segment, because I think one of Thursday's combine highlights is going to come at the courtesy of Jalen Reagor. But let's move on here. I'm going to look at next Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State, the 5'11", 205-pound wide receiver with an 80-inch wingspan. That's insane. Charles Robinson, if you're interested, is tweeting all of the measurements all throughout. Whole Nine Sports did it for the Senior Bowl as well, and you saw this as a consistent string when it comes to Brandon Ayuk. His wingspan and his arm length are ridiculous at his position, so that's something to really love about him, because the longer his arms, the better his catch radius. Just how can he maintain, or not really how, can he maintain his balance with sort of that lanky type of build? So far, so good. He's been a kick returner, a punt returner as well, produced big time in his 2019 year with Arizona State, 65 catches, 1,192 yards and 8 touchdowns. He also had, a kick return touchdown. So he's been busy. And he's a fantastic athlete. Another one of those guys that has the size, right? The Saints love their bigger wide receivers. They generally like to go with guys that are over 6 foot. So that's why I'm going to give you the bonus guy at the end here. But he still has the size at 5'11", 205 pounds. All of these guys are at least, the three guys that I'm mentioning are 5'10", but over 200 pounds for certain. And so that's very helpful in terms of what the Saints look for in terms of a body and a frame and everything like that. One of the things that actually concerns me about Ayuk is his explosiveness off the line of scrimmage. He can get bullied a little bit at the line and he doesn't have the best get off. So we're going to see, you know, if he worked on that all throughout this time in terms of getting ready for the combine and how it transitions. We didn't get to see him at the Senior Bowl because of a medical issue that seems to be all cleared up and fine now. So we'll see him at the combine beginning tomorrow. The thing that I'm really, really, really looking forward to seeing from this guy is the way that he uses his length, particularly that wingspan and that arm length in the position drills, and how he's able to really maintain his balance, flexibility, explosion, despite his length and that lankiness in other drills like the, let's say, broad jump and the 40, things like that, that really require a little bit of balance to really excel in. The next person for me, and this is a later round guy out of Southern Methodist University. You've heard Dylan Sanders mention him from Whole Nine Sports here on the podcast before. James Proche, 111 catches in 2019 with 1,225 yards and 15 touchdowns, 5'10", 201. So again, he's over that 200 pound sort of place. He's not one of the taller guys though. He's a little bit shorter. He's around that Jalen Reagor height, but he's got hands for days, 5'10", but measuring with 9.5-inch hands. So that's pretty outstanding. I think it was 9.58. So he was nearly at 9.6 inches when it came to his hand measurement there. So that's outstanding. He's very reliable at the catch point. He's one of those guys that he reminds me, and I'm not just saying this because he was also an SMU alum, but it reminds me of Trey Quinn, who a lot of Saints fans liked out of the draft a couple years ago from SMU. Somebody that can operate in the slot. He can operate outside. He's versatile in that way, but he can also catch those passes in terms of contested catches, while also being able to go up and get them in that kind of a way. So he's got some great, great, great hands, and he would be a great middle of the field slot weapon for New Orleans. So definitely somebody to keep an eye out on. You're going to want to learn a little bit more about his agility. So you're going to watch his three cone, his short shuttle, and even his 40 to an extent, just to see how those workouts put on display the tools that he has and how that might translate into him as a route runner at the next level. Now time for a little bit of that lanyap that I was promising you. I told you I was going to give you one extra wide receiver that's not actually mentioned in the article, but this is somebody that I'm actually really interested in. And I think depending upon his combine, particularly his 40-yard dash, he might end up flying up the boards of a lot of Saints fans as well. Even if you don't put together big boards, just in terms of the big board in your mind, this guy might end up flying up there as one of your favorites in the draft to the Saints. And it's Clemson wide receiver T. Higgins. Now, T. Higgins has a reputation of just being a tall guy that can go up and catch passes. The Saints kind of already have that in the 6'3" wide receiver across the way in Michael Thomas. This is another 6'3" wide receiver, 216 pounds. And look, just to put into perspective some of the other measurements that I've read for you, this guy's 6'3", 216 pounds. His hand size is 9 1/4. So he has smaller hands than James Proche, who's at 5'10", and he has a wingspan, T. Higgins, of 81 inches, which is only 1 inch longer than the 5'11" Brandon Ayuk. That's why those other guys are so special. What is it that makes T. Higgins so special? Well, 6'3" in height certainly doesn't hurt, but also just his ability to go up and catch passes. But the thing about it is that he could prove that he's more than just a big wide receiver doing big wide receiver things. He claims that he might actually run in the 4.4s when he runs his 40. If he does that, he should skyrocket up some boards, because that's going to put him into the, it's not entirely comparable, but it's going to put him into the sort of Julio Jones range. Not in terms of like that he's going to be a Julio Jones in the league, but a big guy that can go up and catch passes, but that's also fast and reliable with the ball in his hand. And we've seen some flashes of that all throughout the season. You saw some flashes of that in the national championship game against LSU. But T. Higgins, definitely somebody to watch, because if he really runs in that 4.4 range, Saints fans and the Saints organization have every right to get excited about him, because then he proves that he's somebody that can stretch the field, that can be that guy, but that can also be that big body go up and do big body wide receiver thing. So he gets to be a little bit of both, and sort of a little bit of a complete guy that could be added to the Saints offense, which would be an outstanding get for the Saints and for Drew Brees in going into what we can imagine is his final year. Sorry, y'all. That is the wide receiver outlook. Let's talk now about a couple of quarterbacks, as well as some tight ends that you might want to keep your eyes out on, and some big storylines you're going to want to know heading into the first day of on-field workouts. So you got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Houdet Nation, before we close out the show here today, I asked you in the last segment to subscribe and everything to this podcast, but also don't forget about Matt Moscona over at the Locked On LSU podcast, and of course, the homie Jake Madison over at the Locked On Pelicans podcast. The Pellies are like very, very close to entering the Western Conference playoffs. They're just outside of the eighth seed, so you want to keep up with everything going on with them. LSU baseball is underway. LSU basketball, they're trying to get into the SEC tournament, so there's a lot to catch up on all throughout. And of course, you're going to hear all about these fantastic LSU players that are entering the NFL draft. So Locked On LSU, Locked On Pelicans, make sure you check them out and support the other Louisiana shows as well. So thanks everybody for doing that. So I want to wrap up today's show with a quick look at the quarterbacks and then the tight ends who will also be working out on Thursday. I'm going to give you a tight end to watch, as well as a couple of quarterbacks to watch, and then we're going to talk about some big storylines as well. So the big tight end that I would say to watch here is Adam Trautman out of Dayton. Now, we talked about him a bunch here on the show. He's big, he's fast, he's got a little bit more of an expanded route tree because he used to be a wide receiver as well. He played that position, and apparently, according to Brian Bieniemy of WBOK, this is a name that's picking up steam in New Orleans. So Adam Trautman is definitely one of those tight ends to watch in this year's draft, in particular during this combine, because he's not a very well-known name. I mean, he's out of Dayton, for Lord's sake. You know, he's not a super well-known name. So with that being the case, he's really going to have an opportunity to put himself on many maps here in the combine. Although a lot of NFL clubs are already aware of him, thanks to the Senior Bowl and things like that. He was the big standout tight end, or one of the big standout tight ends, along with maybe, say, Harrison Bryant at the Senior Bowl. Another one that's a tricky one and an interesting one is actually Chase Claypool out of Notre Dame. Now, Chase Claypool is a wide receiver, but he checked in at 6'3", 236 pounds. Remember, T. Higgins, we were just talking about, was 6'3", but only 216 pounds. So almost 20 pounds heavier for Chase Claypool. And a lot of questions circulating around whether or not he would be a good tight end prospect, because you've got all of that wide receiver ability from him, that route running ability, you know, running a larger route tree, things like that. Could he be somebody like an Adam Trautman that ends up moving over to tight end at the next level, whereas Adam Trautman did it during college? So another name to keep an eye on there, Chase Claypool of Notre Dame. I think he's going to run his drills with the wide receivers, but he could still end up being asked to transition over to tight end at the next level if he's drafted and finds his way into the pros. He has indeed, though, been asked at the combine to run as a tight end as well by some clubs. So definitely a couple of names to watch out for there, because I think either one of those, because of their expansive ability as receivers, would be good fits as a third sort of mentor or to be mentored tight end behind Jared Cook and Josh Hill. And of course, the Saints went through most of last season with only two tight ends on the roster. Now that we might see the roster size bump up to 55, could that be a position that's affected by that, to where there are a little bit more willing to carry three tight ends? And I know a big part of that was also Taysom Hill. So we'll see exactly what happens with him. But Adam Trautman, Chase Claypool, two people to potentially watch at the tight end position, even though Chase Claypool will probably be wearing a WO on his chest. Now for a couple of quarterbacks to watch, and I know some of you are going to groan at this one, but please keep an eye on Jordan Love out of Utah State. Doesn't matter if you like him. Doesn't matter if you don't like him. Keep an eye out on him. Matt Miller in his scouting notebook over at Bleacher Report mentioned that smart money right now is on the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees returning, to have Drew Brees and Taysom Hill, and then also take a shot in the draft to pick up a legitimate quarterback to be the heir apparent behind Drew Brees. And he mentioned to keep an eye out on, yes, you guessed it, Jordan Love. Jordan Love is somebody that fits pretty much the, I don't want to say the same athletic profile, but a similar enough athletic profile to Patrick Mahomes, who everyone knows Sean Payton was in love with in that draft and might have taken had the Chiefs not traded up to 10 to select him before the Saints were on the clock at 11, where they ended up taking Marshawn Lattimore. But if Jordan Love is close enough to that athletic profile, and this is the season that the Saints decide we need to go and draft a young quarterback to have and to keep in the stable just in case, and as our heir apparent and for our future, then Jordan Love might be the one that fits the build and fits the build the best. So keep an eye out on Jordan Love, watch him, and figure out whether or not you like him or not, because he might be a target for the Saints. Jalen Hurts is the next one I'll put on the list here out of Oklahoma. Not asked to do any drills outside of quarterback, which I'm very happy to see. The way that he tests in the combine as a quarterback is going to dictate where he ends up getting drafted. This is a big, big, big day for Jalen Hurts. Is he going to be somebody that's going to test himself into the second or to fringe first rounder status? I don't think so, but is he going to test himself up to where, instead of him being available in the third at 88 or wherever it is the Saints end up selecting in the third, or is he going to be in trade up distance instead? Could he be somebody that the Saints go after? So Jalen Hurts, definitely somebody to keep an eye out on if the Saints decide, hey, we're going to transition over to this run style, dual threat quarterback style offense with Taysom Hill at some point. Would be good to have a backup that fits that same mold. Bam, you've got Jalen Hurts right there in the draft. Also, like I mentioned, keep an eye out for T. Higgins in his 40 time. These are some of the other storylines that you're going to want to keep an eye out on. He'd be a great addition to New Orleans, especially if he ends up running that 4.4 speed. And of course, you cannot talk about speed at the wide receiver position in this class without talking about Henry Ruggs III, who mentions that he might be poised to break John Ross's 4.22 40-yard dash record, says he feels pretty confident that he'll be able to do it. So that'll be a lot of fun to watch. And then of course, Jalen Reagor, who I mentioned earlier, who is well in position to break Byron Jones' broad jump record of 12'4". So lots to watch here. Take a look at multiple wide receivers all throughout this. According to Tony Pauline of Pro Football Network, the Saints might be interested in taking two of the outstanding 25 wide receivers in this class. So definitely get your fill of wide receivers tomorrow during the combine. Now, for tomorrow's episode, we'll dig into offensive line. We'll take a look specifically at the interior offensive line, but I'll give you some tackles, some running backs to watch as well before Friday's workouts, which will include those offensive linemen, running backs, place kickers, and special teamers. Special teamers might be a little bit of fun to take a look at as well, because we know how much the Saints love their day three special teams pick. So that's coming up throughout the rest of this week. Then we'll get to free agency Friday, as well as the defensive players to watch as we head into the weekend defensive drills for the NFL Combine. It's a very fun time, and I thank you all so much, as always, for being here with me today. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation. I'll holla at you.